Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
Hi, this is Andy.
This is Dan.
This is Brett.
And this is Steve.
And we're going through the gospel, the good news that Matthew wrote down about the kingdom of the heavens. And it's interesting that the first place that we need to understand is that God is not talking about a church. He's not inviting people into a church. He's inviting people into the kingdom of the heavens. And that's what Matthew invites people into. The next gospel, Mark, once we're now in God's house, which is part of the kingdom of the heavens, we're born, actually it says we're born up. So you have to learn to expand your mind. Oh, by the way, it says change your mind, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And then Jesus says, come and follow me. What direction do you think that is? North, south, east, west? What?
Up.
Up. Up. Set your mind on the things above. And then the next chapter, it shows that Jesus came as a man and walked in all of our ways. And because he walked in his ways, he's not starting at heaven to lead us. Where is he starting?
On earth.
On earth, as a son of man. Isn't that interesting? I've never actually experimented with this before, and it's exciting to really think about it. So we have to start. So if you're going to bring somebody to the Lord, do you start way ahead of him, or do you go right to where he is to serve him, whatever level he is?
Wherever he's at.
And then the last one, the gospel that John wrote down, the good news, is about Jesus being the Son of God. He is the Son of God, but he invites us to be joint heirs with him, sons of God, doesn't he? We're not just, he's to be a joint heir. That is unbelievable, to have fellowship with him and sit at his right or sit at his left or sit at his footstool or wherever he positioned. God the Father actually positions those. And so we're back in Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 16. We're looking at the point where Jesus gives Peter the keys to the kingdom of the heavens. And we're going to start there. And there's a song. And where is that, Dan?
It's Psalms 19. It starts with verse 1, and then it skips down to verses 7 through 11.
And it's about the kingdom of the heavens.
The heavens tell of God's glory, and their expanse declares the work of his hands. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The heavens tell of God's glory, and their expanse declares the work of his hand. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping of them there is great reward. And the heavens tell of God's glory, and their expanse declares the work of his hand.
First gospel is about the kingdom of the heavens. Jesus said when he started his ministry, change your mind, the kingdom of the heavens are at hand. And then he said in verse 19 of chapter 4 of Matthew, come and follow me. And then we are in Matthew 16, the context where he asked people, what people think about him? What are people saying? And he's not asking for to see how popular he is or whatever. Andy had an interesting take on that. That in this is again Matthew 16:13-20. Jesus asked him, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And some said John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, some Elijah, some Jeremiah. The other Gospels leave out Jeremiah for some reason, which is interesting. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And take it from there, Andy. You had an interesting take on that.
Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And it appears here that the person that told Jesus who he was, he'd already been told from the Father, whoever tells you that, I want you to do something. And that'll be my clue to you, basically. And you give them the keys to the kingdom of the heavens. And so this shows a communication going on in the background between God the Father and Jesus before this even happened. And that's an interesting point.
Now, it's interesting because we talked about his name is going to be a chip off the old rock. He's not going to be the full size. He's going to be broken down a little bit. And did you know, after he gets the... And so we were kind of musing about this, but I saw something just now I've never, ever seen before. That to break him down, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Enemy. Get thee behind me, enemy. He didn't have the mind of Christ because Jesus said that he was going to suffer many things and he was going to die on the third day. How would you like it if Jesus didn't die on the third day? We wouldn't have salvation.
Yikes.
It would be terrible.
He said, you're not thinking about about God's ways. You're thinking about what you think. You don't want to lose me, pretty much. And that's being not my friend. That's being an enemy against this truth.
So Jesus fell on the rock, had a broken and contrite heart, and there goes ego. He bawled him out in front of everybody. And he actually foretold it, and there it was, and I've never seen it like that before. Because what happens, he goes on later in 21 and explains what happened. And where's that parable about falling on the rock? Oh, here we go.
It's 43 in 21 and 44.
And starts...
43 and 44.
Well, let's start and read 42 through 44.
Okay.
Please.
Jesus said to them, "Did you ever read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I will say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whomever falls on this stone will be broken, but whomever it falls within, it will grind him to powder."
Whoever falls on this stone will be ground to pieces. He'll be getting rid of. Now, how many scriptures did it talk about if you have certain riches, you can't take them with you? Maybe your riches are your popularity. Maybe your riches are your particular, maybe you're in show business and you're doing things that are not good with God. You're going against God. Maybe you're playing in horror movies, or but you're making a good money, you know, doing that. And you have to give that up. If you're going to walk a wholesome life with the Lord, you obey his commandments. And maybe some of the things you like and love go against God, and so you give them up. You repent, and you put down things that are offensive, and you start serving the Lord. And so
Jesus talked about having riches in heaven. He turned it around completely.
So people always think of those scriptures as giving all your money to God, and churches like that because they can get rich real fast, and the minister can get a nice big fancy house, or he can keep living like other people and not worry. Maybe he gave all that stuff up, but maybe some ministers haven't given up their love for riches and so they'll use that scripture as talking about money, but I think it's talking about more. I think it's talking about your ego. And are you willing to change your life and change to the things that God are actually good for you and it'll cause you to live forever? You have choices to make. Have you guys ever thought of it that way?
Yeah, there was that scripture that talked about a person that wanted to follow Jesus. And what does it say? He said that he goes to say that he go and sell all your possessions. And the man went away sad because he had many possessions. He wasn't willing to give those things up.
Maybe he had things that I think more like things he liked to do that just weren't edifying.
Right.
And he'd had to do the things that are edifying. Maybe he thought he wouldn't like them. I remember some of the things I thought were really good and really important, I found out they weren't that fun anyway. And God had, his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. And it's much better.
You know, I agree with you, Gil. It says that not to treasure things in your heart. And we don't keep money in our heart. It's those things that are precious to us. Those are our riches.
I was going to read this. We're talking about this. It says this in earlier in Matthew. Jesus is saying, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." That's pretty straight. "Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth or rust don't destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also." And he didn't explain all the treasures. He said, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. He opens up that concept, showing that it's not earthly things. It's something in heavenly for us to look for and to learn about.
Maybe it's your friend that you like to go out drinking with. And God tells you to not to be a drunkard. There's lots of ways you can apply that. And Steve's going to read Psalms.
Psalms 28:5.
Yeah, would you please?
It says, because they do not regard the works of Yahweh, nor the deeds of his hands, he will tear them down and not build them up.
I think that's not the one. It's one about falling on the rock. Is that Psalm 28:5? There's another one. I can't think of the scripture that talks about a broken and contrite heart. Oh.
51?
Oh, 51.
Psalms 51.
Yeah. My fault. I was in the wrong place.
Can I read that one?
Yeah.
This is Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise.
Now, isn't that interesting? If you take that and put that, the person that falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. So here he comes into the altar sacrifice. It talks about a sacrifice of God. So that is what God wants when we enter the temple, wouldn't you say?
That's the first. It's the first thing when you walk into God's temple.
The first thing is the sacrifices are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. God will not despise, and so that goes along with repentance, doesn't it? So you can combine that right away.
And we read already before, but the very first thing that Jesus talked about with this, the kingdom of the heavens in Matthew 5, was blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. So it goes right along with that.
Well, God's going to pour forth his spirit into our hearts where we cry, Abba, Father. He's going to pour it in. And if you've got a big ego in there, a big stone, you've got a big stony heart of unbelief in there, you don't have any place for the Holy Spirit. And so God breaks you down. He broke Peter down. I think he broke Peter down right there because he says, you're not thinking about the things of God. You've got too much I, too much ego and arrogance in there.
And he used the word enemy there too.
Yeah. Our ego is an enemy to God.
It's an enemy.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And that's the sacrifice. To even go in before a person does anything else, it's repent and get your ego in check. And the other one, if it falls within, and I've seen that happen, there was a group in another town, and everybody in it had this large ego, and eventually a stone was thrown, and I'm just in a spiritual sense, and they all scattered. They all went to different churches. They never agreed because ego, you want to be in charge. If you've got an ego, you want to be in charge. The other person wants to be in charge, and there's nothing that will congeal them. What else did we and this, we don't see the keys again. Just to go back over, we don't see the keys again in the book of Mark where we learn servitude. We don't see the keys after that point, after a person is able to go in to the temple. And he says, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As a group, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in Mark, it portrays that early on what a temple is. And it's a group of people sitting around Jesus. It's not a building, is it? And Jesus is the center. He is the stone, and we are little stones. So think of the Holy Spirit coming into your heart, and it says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, witnesses with our spirit that we are sons of God. So we're not broken to where we're not there. We are no longer have an ego. It's no longer I. It's a submissive attitude, and not submissive just to like a head figure, like a man, submissive to one another. We have a servant's attitude to serve each other. I want to make sure Andy's all right.
You're in the place of submissiveness. You're in the place of serving. It's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's not about, I'm gonna think about doing that. No, it's what it's about. It's what you see everybody around you doing, and that influences you.
I see that actually happening.
Yeah.
I can see it with people that if somebody's sick, there's people, I'm not going to name their names, but boy, they're right there to help them out. But in that particular church where they were all arrogant, nobody helped anybody. And after they were done studying the Bible, they go down to the basement and drink. And that was their camaraderie, was over drinking. And that scattered, they were scattered as dust.
Like they each individually communed with themselves.
I think, what's that one sitcom, you know, with the bar with Ted Danson? And
Cheers.
Yeah. So anybody else have anything on this particular scripture about the keys to the kingdom? Oh, and it's not one key, is it?
It's plural.
Keys. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more than one.
And there's an implication just to having that word there, that the kingdom of the heavens is not something you just go busting into. It's something that is locked. And there are multiple locks because there's at least two because it has an S on it. So now it's not just a free-for-all. You just don't go running in there whenever you want to. There's rules around this.
The first key is obvious because it's the first thing Jesus said, change your mind. And by changing your mind, you're falling on the stone, right? It's in Matthew. And you don't see falling on the stone again. I don't believe that's, if somebody sees it, let me know. I'm going to be looking for it. And I won't correct it if I am correct, but I don't believe that parable is anywhere else. I think it's just here in Matthew.
I've not seen that said in another book.
So all of a sudden you're seeing in action the first thing Jesus said. You're seeing a man falling on the stone, falling on Jesus because he got reprimanded. And his name is now Peter. It's no longer Cephas. Now he's been whittled down to size, and his ego is gone, and he's ready to take on the form of being a servant because he's going to have to die for the Lord. He'll end up dying for serving. Because of his service, he will die for the Lord. He's giving it all up. Here's this big, and people portray him like a wimp, like he's a fisherman. They're strong. These are rough guys. They didn't go to divinity school. The first four apostles are real men, one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. They're fishermen, and they're strong, and they're full of themselves too sometimes. You know, if you get people that are really work out and so on, and they have to fall on the stone, and they do it by changing their mind. And then they're broken, and they have a broken and contrite heart, and become humble, and God will not despise that. And then there's another place where it says that we are to repent. I think we read this in here, and believe in the gospel. But the first thing is that we change our mind.
Yeah, and that one is in Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15, so it's in the next book.
He adds another piece to it, doesn't he?
And when Peter was met Jesus for the first time, Jesus changed his name to that piece of rock. He changed his name and made him that name. And he later on fulfilled his name.
I've never seen that he did it right next in that next scripture.
That he did it. Right after he got those keys.
And Jesus said, get thee behind me, because Peter was standing against the will of God. And I think he learned a hard lesson there. But later on in the book of Acts, as a result of these four gospels, these four primary steps in walking in the Lord, entering into entering into servitude to be part of the family and not to be arrogant, but to be a servant. And then learning as a man that not to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Now you can really apply that on that third one, can't you? Jesus he put down being heavenly minded. I mean, he still was, but he spent 33 and a half years in our human fallen bodies. So he became earthly good. so he could lead us out of this. And then he is proclaimed in John as the Son of God. God even explains that he's been there from the beginning. He's been here all this time, and he gave this place up to come and help us out. Then the book of Acts, he's prepared us to be actually like him. And you see people like Peter, he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. What kind of book is that? That's powerful when you read that book of Peter. That's not the same Peter that was over here saying, Jesus, don't die for me. Is it?
No, his books are very, those two books are short, but they say a lot, those letters do.
He had such a powerful ministry that even if people were under his shadow, they were healed. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it?
And different times, and we have one more instance in his walk in God, Peter's, that he was a second time corrected in front of everyone for being a hypocrite. He could take that when Paul corrected him in front of everybody that he was being a hypocrite.
Oh, that's right.
Jesus did it, and now Paul does it too.
Now his brother does it.
His brother in the Lord does it. First the Lord does it, then his brother in the Lord does it to him in front of everybody.
His Johnny-come-lately brother.
Yes.
Who used to kill people.
Exactly.
He was murdering his friends like Stephen.
And so he's the one that comes and it does it to him in front of everybody again. I don't think there's another instance of everybody, of somebody getting him correct in front of everybody but him.
And yet he's the chip off the old rock, and he had the keys.
Yeah, he didn't fall backwards. He still kept going. That didn't deter him.
So if you want to be somebody big and great, you might get corrected in front of everybody at least a couple times.
I'd say you will be.
You will be. By the someone you least expect.
Faithful of the what?
The wounds of a friend.
Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful the wounds of a friend. This is interesting, going this path. And don't prove things, we were taught by a man of God, like be a good Berean, prove them right. And if you can't prove them right, they're wrong. But prove them right. Don't always go in to prove somebody wrong. And we're running out of time again. This has been a fun subject. We're going to go on in this a bit more, and I won't say how long. It depends on, we'll leave that up to the Lord. It's his choice. And so we're still looking at the keys to the kingdom of the heavens, and we're going to continue on in that vein. We're in Matthew 16, 13 through about 20. And we'll continue on the next time we meet. Until we see you again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.